What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you are a baby gay or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. And actually, this week, it's going to be kind of sad.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to
get
us.
Ready for some crying. I don't know. Yeah. It's just a lot of feelings because it's sad, but not in the way that like fried green tomatoes is sad. It's sad in a like, well, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Anywho, we're talking about Heavenly Creatures. This is the 1994 coming-of-age sapphic murder thriller that introduced the world to Kate Winslet, who I've talked about. Seeing her boobs changed my life in Titanic. And also Melanie Lynskey, which I don't know if this was her first movie, but they were both like teenagers in this. And
yeah.
I love Melanie Lynskey. We've talked about that because of But I'm a lesbian. God, I'm never going to call the movie its real name.
Yeah.
But I'm a cheerleader. But also, I love her because Yellow Jackets and because she was on The L Word. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. She's always very supportive of the gays.
Yes, absolutely.
She's kind of like Natasha Lyonne. It's just funny because she was also in But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm a cheerleader. We will never. Yes. I think we're always going to mess that up.
Oops. Whoopsie. anyway, so this film is pretty messed up, like I said, and it's based on a true story. Are you into true crime, Angie?
I do not enjoy, I guess, but I do like read or watch stuff with true crime in it. And I think it's crazy how these things can happen. But then I also get like paranoid because I'm like, oh my God, people never think it happens. It was going to happen to them. And then it did. So what if it happens to us?
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. I know.
So it's to an extent. I like do like a little limit, like a cutoff. What about you?
I do like true crime, but there is an ick factor when things get too much to where it's like people are profiting so much off of a crime, you know? And so I really like podcasts that and like shows that make a point to like focus on the victim and not like accidentally glorify or maybe purposely glorify like the killer. Like there are people, I've been seeing this on the internet lately. Mm-hmm. There's like people that have tattoos of Jeffrey Dahmer and they think that they're cool. And I think that shows that you're a fucking weirdo. And they think they're like, I'm so edgy. It's like, that's ew. What the fuck? He literally like killed and tortured and ate like young boys and men. Like he was objectively a terrible person. Mm-hmm. Like there's a difference between having a tattoo of like Michael Myers, because that is a fictional killer. Yeah. And compared like, to a real life. Like what? Like gonna get Richard Ramirez. But then this brings me to the women that are like, oh, Richard Ramirez is hot.
Or Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy's hot. And I'm like, you guys are literally mentally ill. Like
they would be the ones that are like sending fan mail in.
Yes. Weird. Please don't do that. Like if you are thinking about it, if you're like, I'm a fan of a serial killer. No, don't. We talked about, did we talk about this on another episode? That guy that I talked about that people thought was really hot with the tattooed face and that girl Bunny XO that's married to Jelly Roll.
Yes.
Was gonna have him on the podcast.
Yes.
Fuck that fucking guy. And I'm glad people don't think he's hot anymore because he gained like 50 to 100 pounds.
But even before that, like Bunny was like trying to defend him and be like, well, he deserves to share his side of it. And they're like, girl, what is wrong with you?
His side that he told his dad he ran her over till she looked like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Because he just wanted to kill someone.
Yeah.
Like, what a fucking terrible person. So anyway, I think there is a point where true crime gets weird. Like Bunny XO, is that her name or is that just her like TikTok name?
I think that's her TikTok name, but I don't know her real name.
Well, she's weird. I'm not a fan of her. And we all know that Jelly Roll is a loser now because of the whole like, oh, I'm just a redneck. I don't know anything about politics. I'm not going to say anything. I knew he was a loser the whole time, but I've never heard one of his songs.
No, neither have I.
I don't think I ever have. But probably sucks. And anyway, I really like some true crime things. Well, obviously, I love Eileen Wuornos.
Yes.
And we've talked about it. We did a whole episode on Monster. If I was ever to support a serial killer,
I was just gonna say,
but it's because she was protecting herself and protecting other women from predators. And I think it's crazy that people still say there's no way that it was self-defense and there's no way that that many men tried to rape her because she was constantly abused by men her whole life. And she was a sex worker and saw multiple men a day.
Exactly.
I get it, not all men, but I'm going to say majority of men. So
especially men that are that seeking.
That are going to, yes. And anyway, so Eileen is different. But
absolutely, Eileen's the only one that's like.
Killer, no, don't be fangirling over them.
Yeah.
Anywho, so do you have any hot takes or burning desires about this movie?
Okay, I had never seen this movie before.
Oh my God.
Have you?
Yes, did
you
I feel see like before? I've talked about it a lot.
Oh yeah, you did.
Just
that's right.
In life,
no, yeah, you
maybe
did.
Not
that's right.
On the show, but yeah.
I was like, maybe personally, but okay. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I know somewhat of the story behind it, but I didn't want to like be like, let me do a full deep dive. I wanted to just watch the movie and then I could look at everything else afterwards.
Yeah.
So I obviously spoiler if you don't want to know. I mean,
you should watch know it. By now. Yeah. It's only 32 years old now.
Yeah.
Wait. Yes.
1994. Yeah, 32
years
old.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. Yeah. No excuse if you
no excuse
are
going to
be mad about a spoiler
it.
From a movie that That's is true. Older than Angie.
That's true.
Anywho.
So afterwards, I had looked up to see like what happened to them. And Juliet is a like crime writer. Like she does like novels. And she was really upset about the movie because for one part, she was like, we were never lesbians.
Oh, whatever. Yes, they were.
And I was like, girl, that's the only thing that you're upset about.
She's like, I don't care about the murder. It's
She's
just,
like, yeah,
I don't...
we did that. That's just things that like kids do. So
kids
but
just
we were never
someone.
Lesbians, okay?
Oh my God.
And I was like, girl, yes, the fuck you were. Okay. Yeah. So
that's so weird. That's going what we talked about one time about like picking and choosing sins.
Yes.
You know, like it's like for her, the murder is okay, but the gay, no.
She's like, absolutely not. I will break my silence for this. And she goes by like a different name now. I forgot the name. But yeah.
I think they both do. They're like, they're released and they have different lives. I think it's fucked up because the person that they killed doesn't get to have a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, what the hell?
So yeah, that's my hot take. Okay. I'm like, girl, okay, what about
girl,
you?
Girl, what the fuck? okay, I'm going to tell you. I don't know. Probably everyone that listens to or watches this knows this, but maybe not. Okay, this might be me introducing you to this, especially if you're not a gay woman.
Okay.
You know the drama with the Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Because apparently Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell, and my favorite Spice, Scary Spice, Mel B, the hottest one, which is funny because my wife thinks that Ginger was the hottest one.
Aww.
Anyway, and now she's trying to get me to make my hair red again.
Oh my God, you
she's
so
like,
should.
Red. I know, but it's black right now, so that's going to be a whole ordeal.
Give it time. You'll get back to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, you just did your hair and it looks so
good.
I
literally just did it. Thank you. But anyway, there was this whole thing where like, apparently they like had some sort of a relationship, whether it was like an official relationship or like a like they were like friends with benefits, but like they were hooking up, and then Jerry, Ginger Spice, was like, that's a lie, you need to take that back. And then like it caused like this huge like rift, and I think they didn't do like she didn't go on tour with them or something when she was going to because Mel B wouldn't take it back. And I just think that's crazy, like in this day and age, that she's so ashamed. And she should be lucky because, like I said, Scary Spice was the hottest spice. So she should be like, yeah, I hit that.
Like, yeah, we definitely hooked up.
Yeah. But instead, she's like, I can't believe you said that. I have kids. I don't want them to think that I did the gay stuff. And I'm like, okay,
oh,
weirdo.
Okay, God forbid.
Yeah. So she's the worst spice. Now we have to hate her, even though she was my wife's favorite. Oh. No, we don't like her.
Yeah.
Anyway, that reminded me of it because it's like, girl, you're just like, no, I was not.
I was not a lesbian. Girl, it's okay to be one.
NK. That was a weird sound.
I thought you said
NK. Okay. So my hot take was, I said, I think the film speaks to how little was understood about child psychology at that time. And if they had both been to therapy, not conversion therapy, just regular therapy to talk about these thoughts they were having at a younger age, they would have likely learned better coping mechanisms and not killed the woman.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Because their relationship was extremely intense and codependent. And they could have definitely, you know, like you said, had different methods
but
to deal with that.
Yeah, especially because it was the 50s. The only thing that the family tried to get them help for was that they thought that they were gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's not the issue here. They are like murderous.
like you don't know their intention.
You can be murderers, but just don't be gay. Like weird. So yeah, that was my hot take. So we're going to take a quick breaky. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So write a quick gay journal entry while we're gone.
Okay, welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Heavenly Creatures.
Yes.
Take it away, Caitlin.
Yes. Okay, so since I love to talk about me, I just want to tell you where I discovered this true crime story.
Okay, yeah.
When I was 14, okay, I've always really loved bookstores, like the thrift bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple, I don't know if all any of them still do this, but there's a bookstore that still exists that my grandma would take me to a lot. Mm-hmm. And you could turn in your books and you would get credit.
Oh, cool.
Towards more books. And that's how I read all the V.C. Andrews incest books when I was like 12 to 14, because I would like buy them and then I would bring them back in and get mm-hmm. credit. Anyway, so one time there was a hardcover. It was like a coffee table book type of vibe. It was mm-hmm. like very long. And it was called Mistresses of Mayhem, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure. And it was about women who kill. And I was, and it had like on the cover, it was like little like T-strap pumps, mm-hmm. like kind of like 50s-ish little mm-hmm. shoes. And I was like, wow, I really want to read this.
You're like, I'm obsessed.
And it was basically like a digest of women killers. And yeah, there are some that are really fucked up. And mm-hmm. but this is where I learned about Eileen Wuornos. Mm. Because this was before I had access to the Netflix account and I could rent Monster and have it mailed, because mm-hmm. it was that time period. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in that book, they talked about these two mm-hmm. and they mentioned that there was a movie made about it. They also talked about, oh man, there's so many fucked up things. Like, you know, Carla Homolka?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Her and her boyfriend were called the Ken and Barbie Killer.
Oh, wait, no. Was it the one where they killed her sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were in Canada. And she's also free now and gets to live a regular life.
Didn't they also make a movie?
Yes. Too? And Donna, Hot Donna, was in it. Laura Prepon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, Hot Donna.
Sorry, that's what I always call her because I love that 70s show. So I'm like, she's Hot Donna forever to me. I think she's a Scientologist, but
I ignore that.
She'll leave soon if she hasn't already. Anyway, so I just wanted to tell you where I found out about this. So okay. Then I also ordered this movie on Netflix, mm-hmm. you know, to be sent to my dad's house and mm-hmm. watch it, whatever. So we open on a video, like a tourist video about Christchurch, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And it's a video to get like tourists to come, and it talks about how people bike everywhere there. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we could talk about biking in another episode, but I don't really remember how to ride it. And I think it's funny that people say you never forget how to ride a bike, because I forgot. Maybe it's because
– maybe you need – like once you are on the bike, it'll come to you. Oh.
When I was like 15, I tried it again and I fell. But I also think – I think we talked about how I have a lot of ice cream scoops missing out of my brain from all of the ecstasy that I did. So maybe that's –
they took out the part where you
– yes, the part that remembered how to ride a bike was like, scoop. You don't need that, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Damn, ice cream scoops. So anyway, this video is then interrupted by – we see like two girls screaming and running through trees. And then this is intersected with happy videos of them running on a boat. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Like a big boat,
yeah.
I feel. Anyway, I don't know why it matters what size the boat is. I just wanted you to know it wasn't a rowboat and they were running in it.
Yeah, because that would have made, yeah.
And then I want you to know that the girls are Pauline / Yvonne and Juliet. So Pauline / Yvonne, they go by so many names too, because then they also go by their like names that they make up for each other.
Fantasy names.
So
yeah.
I don't even think I included those names because it was throwing me off when they would be like, oh, Deborah or whatever.
You're like Pauline Yvonne.
Yes. So Pauline Yvonne, I can't remember what her last name is, but her parents call her Yvonne.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's why I want you to know that's the same person. But that's Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
And Juliet is Kate Winslet. And these are the real people's names. And yeah, they're like teenagers. They're like 14 or something. So then we see them get to a house and they're like covered in blood. And mm-hmm. then a woman comes out of the house and they're like, someone's hurt, blah, blah, blah. And they're like freaking out. And then we cut to like seeing text on the screen, you know, like just black with the text. And it says, this is based on the true story of Pauline Yvonne Parker and Juliet Marion Holm, who were friends during 1953 to 1954. Pauline kept diaries during this time, and the film has diary entries in her own words. Mm-hmm. And this is why we know they were gay, because she said that they made love a bunch mm-hmm. in her diary entries. But that other girl is like, that never happened. Okay, she's like, oh my God, Jerry, no.
Yes, it was in the fantasy world.
Yeah, we were. Because she even says, like, we made love as all the characters we made up. So I feel like she's trying to be like, that didn't happen. No, it did. They were like, I think blah, blah, blah would fuck like this. I think blah, blah, blah would do it like this. Mm-hmm. Gay.
Girl, let me show you actually, yeah, actually how I think.
Tell me how you feel about this. I'm going to try it on you. So,
and you let me know.
Yeah, you let me know. Do you think, should we practice more? I don't know. It's so weird. So anyway, then we backtracked and we see a bunch of girls at private school in their uniforms. And we see Pauline just like scowling. Like she always has this look. If you're on YouTube, you can see she's like.
Yeah, literally.
She's always looking up and like.
She's like so mad.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, girl, yeah, got problems. She's embodying, they should have sent her to therapy like, based on the face.
I know, right? Yeah. They're like, that's just Pauline.
That's just how she is. Yes. Okay. And so we see her scowling at the church like morning assembly, and she's not singing with everyone else. And we see that this is 1952. And then the teacher introduces a new student, Juliet. And they say her dad is the director of the college nearby, and she is from England. And then we see Pauline drawing, and she's drawing, I don't know, I just think they're showing us that she has, like, an imagination, because this is French class, yeah. This is not art class, and she's drawing. And Juliet, like, sits down and immediately corrects the teacher. So I feel like we're like, oh, okay, she's, like, a very confident young woman that's, like, you should have said blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Oh, croissant. You said that was good.
The little British accent?
Yeah.
Hey, you should have. No, I'm not going to be able to do it. Anyway, so the Pauline likes that she corrected her. I feel like she's like, haha, she's cool. And then in art class, Pauline and Juliet get matched together, and they're supposed to, like, one of them models and then the other draws each other. So I'm like, okay, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
I know.
And then Juliet drew other things instead of Pauline. She draws this guy that I think we mentioned his name, Mario something later, that is, like, a singer. Mario Lanza. Yeah. She's, like, obsessed with him. Yeah. So she's, like – drew him instead, and Pauline's like, oh my God, good job. But the teacher's like, I told you to draw her, not to just like let your imagination fly. Anyway, so then we see Pauline's parents at home about to make dinner, and we see that they have a boarder staying there, and it's like they seem to have like kind of a lot of boarders, like,
yeah,
I think, you know, they're trying to show us that they're not rich and they like rent out rooms, and that is like part of how they're making their money.
Yeah.
And Juliet's family is obviously rich because the dad is the director of a college.
Yeah.
So that's also just, you know, there's like a class differential here. Anyway, the dad starts dancing and singing with a dead fish and thinks he's being funny, and Pauline gets mad at him because she's mad all the time. And I guess she's extra mad because she had put on this Mario Lanza album, and she's like, oh, it's so special because, like, Juliet talked about it. And it's like, girl, she obviously had a crush on her, like, already.
I know.
She's like, ah, she mentioned him, so I had to put on his
record. She's, like, looking. She's like, where is it? Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay, and then at school the next day, Pauline shows Juliet her scar. She has, like, a scar on her leg, and they bond over it because Juliet says she was really sick as a kid, and she has scars all over, but they're all over her lungs, so they're, like, inside. You can't see them. And Pauline is like, oh my God, I had so many operations on my leg. We have so much in common because we were both sickly children. And then we see Pauline riding her bike to Juliet's fancy rich person house. And they play make-believe with Juliet's little brother. And Pauline is like staring at Juliet dressed like a princess. Like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Which is like everyone would do that if they saw Kate Winslet, I think.
That's true.
The special Mario Lanza record gets broken when the little brother play fights with Pauline. And then we see Juliet's parents. And I was like, they did a good job casting the mom because she kind of looks like Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, wow.
I thought the same for Pauline's mom as well.
Okay, yeah. And then Juliet puts on her Mario record and tells the parents, we need to buy a new one for Pauline because, like, my brother broke it. And it's just kind of obvious that she's kind of spoiled because, like, the parents are having, like, a talk and she, like, just runs in and puts on her record and is like, I'm doing what I want. And then we see a montage of them playing and reading and becoming besties. And then we see them riding bikes and they get run off the road by a car and Pauline pretends to die. And then they do more playing in the forest and then they take off their clothes. And so they're running around in their like bras and underwear. And it's just kind of like cute and innocent. And then they kiss and snuggle in the forest. So gay.
Yeah, gay.
And then at night, we see them hanging out in the woods with candles and a bunch of pics of their man, Mario. And there's some other men, too. And, like, I don't know. It's not that important. Basically, they're just being, like, teenage girls. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, I have a crush on this one. And when I grow up, I'm going to marry him. Yeah. Like, whatever. And so they talk about religion. And Julia is like, there is no heaven, but there is the fourth kingdom. And we can go there when we die with Mario. And so they're just very imaginative. She's, yeah. Makes sense that this bitch now writes crime stories under yeah. a different name because she's very... Oh, I was like, did I?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway, so Pauline looks at Juliet very longingly is what yeah. I wrote. So then we flash forward to Christmas at Pauline's house. Her dad bought her a diary and she starts using it, which is where we get the entries.
Mm-hmm.
Pauline's family has Juliet over for dinner and Julia is so extra as always. And Pauline is so embarrassed of her family and it's sad.
I know.
And then they're doing special gay looks across the table. And then there's a diary about how no one can understand them because they're so special. Mm-hmm. Right. This is where eventually some of the diary entries talk about how like they're heavenly creatures. They're different than everybody mm-hmm. else, blah, blah, blah. And Juliet's family goes on a vacation to the lake and they take Pauline. And then we hear that Pauline and Juliet are working on a novel together. And the mom calls them princesses and calls Pauline her foster daughter. And then we find out that the parents, Juliet's parents, are going to a conference in England. And Juliet freaks out because she doesn't want them to leave her for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So she's sad because her parents are like always leaving because, I don't know, they're busy. And Pauline comforts her. I was like, they're pretty dramatic, but they're teenagers, so it makes sense. And then they're having like a shared delusion of being in the different land. So they're like in the fourth world or whatever. And it's beautiful. And there are unicorns and giant butterflies. And they're so happy. And they're like, we are one of only 10 people that have the key or that have this special part of their brain that allows them to find the key to visit the fourth world. Like, we're so special. They're very imaginative, but also mentally ill. I feel like maybe they are both narcissists because their whole, like, we are so special.
Yeah.
We can see this. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, but I'm not a psychiatrist, so why am I trying to
diagnose
them?
We don't know,
them?
Right? Yeah. but it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Based on what they're saying.
Yeah.
And also, like, the fact that they think that they are, like, that important and special. Isn't that, like... My God, that's something else. But
delusions of grandeur?
Yeah. Well, that's something else.
Which
but, yeah.
is like a symptom of other mental
it's
illnesses.
It's like the God complex.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, they're just weirdos that found each other. and then another day we see them acting out their novel and they're playing as husband and wife. Gay. And then at school they show Juliet coughing up blood and we find out that she has tuberculosis. And Pauline wants to also get tuberculosis because she's sad about Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
Gay. She's like, I wish I could also have it so that I could
be
with
her. She just kissed me.
Like, yeah. And then she asks if Juliet can stay with them while her parents are away. And the mom is like, no, I mean, like, she's still contagious. She needs to stay at the hospital or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's kind of messed up that her parents still go on the trip when she has tuberculosis. But
like, she's
whatever.
Fine. She's in the hospital.
Yeah. And so while she's in the hospital sick, Pauline and Juliet start writing to each other as their book characters who are in love. So that is extra gay, right? And the letters are really kind of violent. I mean, they're quite violent. Juliet imagines the characters killing the priest in her hospital. Then we see Pauline talking to the young adult man, Border, and gross. And Pauline tells Juliet the Border is in love with her, and Juliet is jealous and is like, oh, that's why you haven't written me back? And she starts crying. And then Pauline is like, no, oh my God, I'm just kidding. He's just a stupid boy. Gay. And then
she's like, I love you.
Yeah, she's like, I don't actually care. And then we see the Border sneak into Pauline's room and ask to get in her bed with her. And she lets him because she's a child. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I guess, just for a minute. Because he's like, I'm really cold. And then he starts like trying to touch her. And he tells her he loves her, tries to have sex with her. And then the dad catches them. And then the family is mad at her. Like, and I'm like, this is an adult man that is, like, trying to molest or rape your child and you are like blaming her and saying she's being a tramp or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. And I was like, yeah, misogyny. And then the boarder, John, gets kicked out and she's in trouble from both of her parents. Mm-hmm. And she sneaks out and goes to his new room that he's renting and they have sex. But it's obviously rape and that is so messed up. Mm-hmm. She is a child. So even if she were to be like,
I want to do this, it still doesn't.
And this is obviously an adult man. While he's on top of her, she imagines she's in the fourth world with Juliet and all of their characters. And she cries when she sees Juliet. And then we go back to what is actually happening. And the creepy guy is like, I love you so much. And she's like, I need to leave. And then we move to seeing Pauline and Juliet's family pick Juliet up at the hospital. And the dad sees them holding hands in the back of the car. And he's like, the fuck?
It's like, what's going on?
Yeah. And it's like overlaid with the diary entries about how special they are. And she says, it's a miracle that two such heavenly creatures are real. And then we see them in the tub together. And then we see them snuggling in bed together. And it's very gay. And then we see the dad see them together. And he's like, I don't like this. And then he goes to talk to Pauline's mom. Mm-hmm. And he says that they have an unhealthy friendship. Mm-hmm. And their attachment is unwholesome. And they should take Pauline to a doctor to basically do conversion therapy.
Yeah.
And then we see Pauline and her mom at that doctor's office, and Pauline doesn't want to talk to him. And the mom goes outside, and he's like, do you like your mom? And she's like, no. And then he's like, do you like girls? And she's like, no, because they're silly. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but do you like Juliet? She's a girl. And she's like, well, yeah, she's different.
She's like, that's my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, what?
She's my other heavenly creature.
Yeah.
And he's like, just so you know, it's not good to have just one friend. You need to have more than one friend. Mm-hmm. And she imagines killing him, or like one of her characters like killing him. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor tells the mom, Pauline is a homosexual. But hopefully she can grow out of it.
Oh, my God. And, it's just a phase.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The mom told Juliet that if her health doesn't improve, she can't ever see. Okay. The mom must have told Pauline that if her health doesn't improve, she can't ever see Juliet and her family again. And then we see Christmas again. Mm-hmm. So we've gone a year, and Pauline is being all sad and lonely, and her parents get her another journal. And then her parents get a letter from the school about her grades being low, and she gets into this big fight with her mom. And she says she doesn't want to go to school anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we see her in some type of typing class or business school for ladies. So I think they were like, did she drop out?
I think so. They're probably like, you need to do something, so you're going to do this. And if you don't want to do school, at least do work in this.
Yeah.
Like, you have that job.
Yeah. What can a woman do? Type. And so then we see the girls in the tub together again, and they're planning to go overseas. And Juliet's dad hears them in the tub, and he is very concerned. And then we see the girls stealing things from the, you know, Juliet's fancy rich house so they can sell it and run away together to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then we see Juliet's dad getting fired. And so he needs to find a new position and likely move. And so we're like, ooh, this is not good, because they're like obsessed with each other. And if he has to move back to England or whatever, that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
And then Pauline talks about how much she hates her mom and she wishes that she would just die. Mm-hmm. And she's like, also, while I'm at it, I wish my dad would die too. I wish they both died.
She's like, I hate them both.
Yes. And then we see Juliet catch her beautiful mom in bed with another man. And the mom is like, it's okay, your dad already knows, like, we're...
She's like, it's fine.
Yeah, like, it's not really that it's an open relationship. What we find out, I think, is they are going to get a divorce. Yeah. The dad already knows that she is with someone else, in love with someone else. Mm-hmm. And Julia is like, whatever, I'm moving to Hollywood anyway, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. Which is such a teenager thing
like,
to say.
I'm moving.
I'm going to be famous, so I don't need you, mom. And then we see Pauline riding her bike in the rain to go see Juliet. And the dad tells them, like, yeah, we're getting divorced. And then we see the next day the dad is telling Juliet that he is moving back to England, but she's not coming with. She's going to move to South Africa with her aunt. Which I was like, why can't she stay with her mom if her mom is staying here? Because the mom just wants to be with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And the dad just wants to do his work by himself. So she gets shipped off to be with an aunt.
Yeah.
She's like, fucked up. Like, yeah. Why have kids if you're not going to, like, hang out with them?
Exactly. The only way I could see it is if, like, they literally were like, okay, we need to get a position, get money, whatever, and then I'll send for you. But they're like, no, you're going to live with your aunt. Yeah. Because we kind of don't want you.
Yeah. Like, no wonder she has, like, kind of abandonment issues.
Yeah.
And so she, like, freaks out and is like, I can't move away without my bestie. And then we see Pauline telling her parents that the Humes will let her live with them. And the mom is like, I don't care if they will let you. I'm not letting you.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, fuck. Obviously, my mom needs to die so that I can.
This is the only thing.
This is the only solution in her, like, 14, 15-year-old brain or whatever. Yeah. And so that's crazy. And the parents talk. And they agreed to let Pauline stay with the Humes for, like, a couple weeks or something until Juliet has to move to South Africa. Yeah. And then we see them. This is the part I was talking about. They're like, we should make love as our characters. And they're like, we did it all night. And I think they said something like, we experienced true bliss or something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they were just doing it a lot. And so we see them kissing and we see that they're naked in bed. So, yeah, they were doing it. Then we see them in the tub crying. And Pauline tells her, like, well, I have an idea. We have to kill my mom so that I can go with you to South Africa. And they're like, it's going to be fine. We'll make it seem like an accident. Mm-hmm. And so she talks in her diary and it's so fucked up. She's like, I'm so excited or whatever. That didn't sound
New
Zealandish
at all. She's like, I can't wait for this
to
happen. Yeah,
she's like, I am so excited about this this moment that's coming up or whatever. I'm like, that is fucked up. So we see Juliet at, like, her house grabbing a brick and putting it in her purse and then going to Pauline's house because they want to use the brick as a murder weapon. Mm-hmm. They're, like, putting it inside, like, a stocking or a
like a
pillowcase or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were going to put it in. They're going to, like, most violent. They're going to beat her to death.
Like, I'm like, how is that an accident?
Yeah. They're like, oh, it was like a random person.
Like, push her down the stairs or something. That seems more believable. Yeah. Than, like, literally beating her to death.
Yeah.
With the brick.
Yeah. I don't know. They're stupid and kind of evil, you know? Okay. Yeah. So, they put the brick in a stocking inside of Pauline's purse. And then we see the girls and the mom go on a bus to a different town. So I think it's like, oh, you know, before Juliet moves away, like, I'll take you on a little girl's day. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go to this area. We'll go on, like, a nice walk. And they go to tea. And it's very cute. And it's sad because they know they're going to kill her. And the mom is just, like, having, like, a nice time thinking, like, oh, I'm just hanging out with my daughter. Like, she's finally hanging out with me. And it's so sad. There's, like, this part where they have, like, the little, like, cakes or whatever for tea. And the mom is like, oh no, there's probably, like, so many calories in this or whatever. And the Pauline is like, mom, it's okay, treat yourself.
She's,
and it's
like, that's your last treat.
Yes!
So
I'm
go
like,
ahead.
Bitch, because she knows she's gonna fucking kill her.
That's so,
so
fucking
up.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they go on a walk in, like, this forest, basically, on a trail, though. And the trail goes downhill. And then it looks like Juliet kind of starts to chicken out, but Pauline is like, no, we're going to do this. And Pauline starts hitting her mom over the head with the brick. And it's so sad. And she beats her to death. And while she's beating her, the mom is like, Juliet, help me. And then Juliet grabs the brick and starts hitting her too. It's so evil. Like, seriously. And then as this is happening, we see their vision of Juliet leaving on a boat with her parents and them, like, crying and screaming because they're being separated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, my God. I don't know. I feel like maybe my hot take also should have been, I don't like how this is framing lesbians as unstable.
I know, as murderers.
Yes, I'm like, oh, my God. I get it that they want to be together, but, like, they're obviously not
Okay. Yeah, there was another level of mental illness in there. Yes. That is not because they are lesbians. No, okay.
It's so, yeah, separate. So then it goes to the end text, which explains there was literally an immediate arrest within hours of the death of mm-hmm. Pauline. So they did not do a good job of making it look like an accident. They were like, no. Obviously, this was you. And then Juliet was arrested and charged the next day. Mm-hmm. And they were both found guilty of murder and sent to separate prisons to be detained at Her Majesty's pleasure. So I feel like that is kind of like a life sentence with the possibility of parole mm-hmm. because it's like she could keep them in there forever or she could let them out whenever she feels like it, I guess. And yeah, definitely they barely got any time. Juliet was released in 1959. So this, she got like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So basically by the time she was like an adult, she's out.
She was able to be out.
Yes. And Pauline got released like basically at the same time or right around the same time. And there was a condition that they never meet again. So mm-hmm. I feel like it seems like there was maybe this like attempt to be like, they would never have done this if they didn't meet each other so mm-hmm. they can never be around each other again. But the thing that I feel that we know now is people like that, that have these really unhealthy attachments mm-hmm. can probably form that with another person. Like exactly. just because they never meet them again doesn't mean they're going to not become obsessed with another person mm-hmm. and do something similar. So mm-hmm. I think it's wild that they are like out and they're old ladies now.
I know.
And they're allowed to live their life.
That's just so crazy to me.
Yeah. It like makes me mad. So anywho, every time I say anywho on the, when we do the captions, mm-hmm. it thinks I'm saying anyhow. And I'm like, I think anywho is a word. Whatever. I say it a lot. And every time
it's
I say
your
it,
word.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, any hoosers, definitely not going to know that one. Anyway, so we didn't do – we decided not to do Munch, Merge, Murder on this episode due to the nature of the film because, well, they are children and also they are murderers. Yeah. So I don't know. I felt like it was inappropriate, but I wanted to
– Yes, honestly.
Yes, okay. Thanks for agreeing.
I'm like, no, I want to do a Munch, Merge, Murder.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, we could have done it – because I think like Kate Winslet's character,
Juliet's
Winslet,
mom is Melanie
beautiful.
Linsky and Juliet's mom.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but point being, no, not doing it. So we decided to do key takeaways from the film instead. Oops, I pushed a weird button and now I can't find my key takeaway. Okay, so what was your key takeaway?
Okay, definitely. I feel like obviously since this was the 50s, there was basically no support for people experiencing mental illnesses. And obviously the only thing that they thought was wrong was that they were lesbians. And they were like, they need to fix this. They definitely need some help. And I feel like that played a part in their sentencing as well. Like you said, if they had never met each other and if they weren't like, especially Pauline, since she already had seen a doctor mm-hmm. and the doctor was like, she's a homosexual.
Yeah.
So I feel like had they gotten the right support, not for being lesbians, but for their mental illnesses, then this most likely would have never happened. Yeah. But it did happen, and it's insane that they are out. I mean, maybe they got the right therapy. I doubt it, though, because they were only in there for 5 years.
Yeah.
Or they, like, were able to get therapy as adults later on, but still, I don't know. I don't know what kind of things they did after they got out, right?
I hope they didn't ever do anything else bad.
Well, Juliet is a crime, like, novel writer person. So that's crazy.
Okay.
That she was like, you know what? I'm the perfect person for this because we committed a murder.
Yes. She's like, wow, I can think about all the ways I should have done it to get away with it.
And all the other people that I want to do this to. That's her outlet, writing the novels.
Yeah. So hopefully that is her outlet. She's not killing anybody else.
I hope so. What about you? What's your
takeaway? I said it, that it's wild that they're both out and they got to live their regular lives. And they only got like 5 years in prison. But I also think this is kind of an example of when – how do I word this? When like sexism is helpful to women or a woman because – it reminds me of like the Lizzie Borden stuff because She's also a lesbian, but because Lizzie Borden, like, one of the reasons she got not charged or got was free is because they were like, there's no way like a woman could do that. Yeah. And I feel kind of like they're like, yes, they're children, so also that, but also they're girls. Like, they would never do that again. Like, it must like, just be because enough. They were gay and in love with each other. I don't know. It's like so weird.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. True. That thanks for talking about this depressing movie with me. I just okay, something else that I think is interesting about this movie is I could be wrong, but I think this is the first movie that Peter Jackson directed, the Lord of the Rings director. And that's crazy. Well, I've never seen Lord of the Rings, so I don't know that I should be the one talking about it. But I've heard that Lord of the Rings is, like, very beautiful. And it's also in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, it was very well directed. So I thought it was interesting that he started with something very different from that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, now that you're saying that, I do remember when I was reading a little bit after I'd finished the movie that they did want to film the movie in New Zealand and in like places where things actually happen. And so they wanted to make it as real as possible. So
interesting.
And they even said that after the movie, both Kate Winslet and Melanie Lynskey stayed in their character because it was like that strong that they had already like embodied these people. And so it's crazy. Sort of method acting, I guess.
I know.
And like, usually women don't do that.
Yeah, I exactly. Like I was like, remember that Kristen Stewart interview where she was like,
she's like, that's not real.
Yeah.
Like method acting is.
They were also children.
That's
they
true.
They just got stuck in it.
I believe that because they have not method acted since, from my knowledge.
Yeah. I love Kate Winslet, but I was kind of annoyed in like that recent-ish interview where she was like saying that her kids are not nepo babies, basically.
Or, like, she said that?
Yeah, she's like, they don't get stuff just because they're my kids and my husband's kids or whatever. But it was like her son was having his like new first feature film directorial debut from it's through his dad's company. Or you know what I mean? And I'm
she's
like
he. He worked hard for it, which I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
not the same as someone who's from like Iowa and has no connections to anybody.
Yeah.
You know? So like be realistic, girl.
Yeah.
Anywho, what would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5 cherries?
Okay. I would rate this movie a 5 out of 5 cherries.
Oh my God.
I really liked it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I said 4.
Okay.
Because I do really like it. But I don't know. I guess there's something that could be better to me. I don't know. But
maybe because you've watched it before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
And this was like my first time and I was like, oh my God, this is a crazy movie. I really like it.
Yeah, it is. It is really good. I do really like it. And so, you know, we kind of talked throughout the movie about how it was based on a real life case.
Yeah.
And I thought this was really cool, so I wanted to talk about it. So we have a friend podcast, and it's called Residue, and they are also covering this case and the movie. Mm-hmm. Literally, their episode is releasing the same day as our episode. So if you want to hear more about it from another person's point of view, definitely check that out. So the podcast is called Residue. If you're into true crime and if you have a deep appreciation for made-for-TV movies that bring real stories to life, you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. Chrissy Champagne is the girl behind the mic. She is a true crime fan who grew up on Lifetime thrillers and VHS crime dramas. Chrissy brings deep research, storytelling, and just the right amount of commentary. Mm-hmm. Residue tells the real true crime stories that inspired these unforgettable movies. For example, in A Cry for Help, she dives into the heartbreaking case of Tracy Thurman, a woman who fought back after years of abuse, whose husband nearly killed her, and whose legal battle exposed how police and systems often failed domestic violence victims. And in Small Sacrifices, she explores the horrifying Diane Downs case, a mother who shot her 3 children. Diane tried to blame a stranger, but the truth unraveled. The trial became one of the most shocking moments in true crime and TV movie history. Mm-hmm. If you love movies that are based on true stories and crave the truth behind them, this is your next binge. Follow Residue wherever you get your podcasts. It's really good, you guys. I've listened to quite a few episodes, and I really like it. And I really like Chrissy. You guys are going to like her. She's really nice. Also, if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Send in your dilemma and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There's a link to the Jot form in the description of this episode, as well as on our Linktree on all social media pages. Join our Supporters Club, which features exclusive minisodes for subscribers only. Info on signing up is in the description of this episode. Welcome back. This week, we are talking about, well, we are doing a What's Up with the Heteros segment. So we're talking about a hetero person.
Hetero people.
People. Heteros. People in a hetero relationship. Because to be honest, I don't know if we know that maybe some of, maybe they're bi, but
you
they,
know, that's
the
true.
People in this story are present as a hetero couple.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's an Am I the Asshole, which I know you guys like. Yeah. So Angie's gonna read it to you.
Okay. So am I the asshole for asking my boyfriend not to talk to me about other women? So this is my 21 female first ever relationship. I love my boyfriend, 24 male, but it's getting really hard to spend time with him because of the types of things he talks about. He's near constantly commenting on how attractive other women are. None of the women look anything like me either, which makes me feel even worse. And I could probably like just let go of it if it weren't for the way he's expressing his attraction. I know everyone still experiences attraction to other people, even in a committed relationship. That's not my problem at all. Red flag ready.
Yeah.
The problem is that he can't just say a woman is pretty or has nice hair. He goes into overly sexual detail. So then this is what she quoted as him saying, "Did you see how fat her ass was? She looks like she sucks dick real good. Oh, fuck, she's gorgeous. Look at her." I feel like it's so weird me saying this.
You're like, I need to make sure no one knows. No one takes this out of context. You're like, I would not say this.
I'm like, this is a quote.
She looks like she sucks dick real
I
good.
I feel monotone. I'm like, oh, fuck, she looks gorgeous.
And now there's more, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. We're continuing with this quote.
Yes.
"Oh, did you see that? She totally has the hots for me. We could probably fuck her together." Oh my God, they just keep getting worse. Holy shit. "I bet if I eat that pussy, she won't be such a bitch." "Would you fuck her over there?" "No, come on. She's hot as fuck. You wouldn't fuck her." So that's actually fucking insane just based off of that. So now back to this. Things like that. "I'm at the point where my mood drops every time we leave the house because I know it's coming. Although the house isn't safe either because he says the same things about any woman we see in shows or movies. And avoiding watching TV with him doesn't help because then he starts telling me sex and love stories about his ex-girlfriends in crushing detail or commenting on the women in my family." Just what the fuck? Okay. "He's done this since the start of our relationship. At first, I tried to just give him hints that it made me uncomfortable, changing the subject, saying stuff like, ill, gross, not responding at all, etc. But that never worked at all. I finally had to say something directly to him the other night after I started tearing up trying to listen to him. He got pretty upset with me and said we shouldn't have to control it, that he's constantly getting turned on by all these women everywhere, and he can't help that. I tried to explain that I didn't blame him for being attracted to other women, but I can't handle, as his girlfriend, hearing him talk that way about other women. It makes me feel more like his friend than his girlfriend, you know? Plus, I can genuinely feel my heart breaking every time something like that comes out of his mouth. So I just can't handle it. But he got even more upset and said that I'm stifling him and that he should be allowed to say what he thinks without being judged for it if we want to have a good relationship. But I can't say a single word about other men. I try not to because I know how it feels. But the one time I drunkenly said, damn, when a hot guy came on the TV, we got in a big fight and he threatened to break up with me and kick me out. It just seems so unfair to me. I guess I just need to know if I'm being controlled or if the way I feel is actually valid." So, would you care to share your thoughts?
I was trying so hard not to react as you were doing it, so it could be a surprise, but obviously, she's not the asshole. This guy is such an asshole, and he's gaslighting the shit out of her because she's never had a relationship before, so he's acting like this is how all relationships are.
Yeah.
All guys talk about how they want to fuck other girls and try to get you to want to fuck other girls with them. It's like he's trying to get her to want to have a threesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and yeah. I feel like she hasn't even said if she is bi. So that's also interesting. Like, is she totally straight? And he's like, come on, you wouldn't. And she's like, I'm literally straight. But also, yeah. even if she is bi, that doesn't mean she would be okay with having a threesome or that she would be okay with hearing him talk about other women.
Yeah.
And this double standard is wild of yeah. him being like, you can't even say anything yeah. if a hot guy comes on TV, not even a real person, mm-hmm. but he's allowed to be like, that girl looks like she sucks dick really good.
Yeah, like I would eat her pussy. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
Weird.
I cannot. And she didn't even say anything sexual either. She just said, damn. And he was like, we're going to break up and I'm going to kick you out. Oh my God. So, wow. Very wild. No, you're not the asshole.
No.
I hope that if we look for the story again, there's the little edit thing that they have, like, edit, I broke up with him.
I really hope
Please, girl, you are not the asshole. This is insane. This is, like, a shitty partner and just in general person yeah. to do this to you.
Yes. I feel like there is something to be said for every relationship having its own dynamics. And yeah. there are some relationships where people are okay with talking about other people being hot.
Yeah.
And that is fine if they both are okay with it.
Yeah.
And if they both respect, like, limits. Like, if it's like, we can talk about that girl's really pretty, but we can't say we want to bend her over it. You know what I mean? Like, that's yeah. weird. So, you know, I think maybe this guy is not ready to be in a relationship. He's like, oh, I just get turned on by all these women all the time. Okay, well, maybe you need to be, like, playing the field. Or yeah. maybe you need to be in, like, a poly relationship.
Yeah.
Because he does not seem like he's okay with just being with one woman. And mm-hmm. he wants her to, like, feel bad
yeah.
for caring.
Mm-hmm. For saying that her feelings got hurt over this. And he's just like, this is so normal. Like, this is what needs to happen for us to have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Is crazy. But also, like, the way that he's talking about women, too. Like,
it's gross.
You're
it's
disgusting. You're nasty.
Yeah.
And that's just so fucked up.
No, it is. And then, oh, my God, there was something else I was going to say. Oh, also, yeah, like I said, there are some relationships where both people agree and it's okay to talk about other people. But, like, I was listening to my 90s country playlist this morning when I was getting ready. And the song Shania Twain, Any Man of Mine, came on.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, girl, this is so me, though, because it's like, any man of mine better say I look just fine, even if my dress is not fitting me anymore. Any man of mine better never think another woman is mm-hmm. hot, even if I say that girl looks pretty. Be like, mm-hmm. no, you're more beautiful, babe. You know, like, I don't remember the exact lyrics, and yeah. I'm trying not to sing and, like, do something bad on here. But I was like, wow, she gets me.
Because like, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, like, Wah can, like, mention, like, celebrities that are beautiful, but she can't. She can't say I want to fuck her. That's weird. And that is also, true. Do not say something about my friends or my family. That's
family
really
is crazy.
Weird. Like,
yeah.
is he saying, like, oh, your sister's so hot? Like, that's weird.
The fact that he has zero filter when it comes to, like, even it, I'm sure it's just random everyday people that they see. Yes. I feel like he's saying the same kind of stuff about her family, and that's insane too.
Yeah, like, oh, your mom's a MILF.
You know, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, what is he saying about what family
your cousins,
members is he talking about?
Right? Yeah.
Like,
it's gotta
ew,
be
ew, weird.
Yeah, he's just nasty.
Yeah,
it's
gross.
Disgusting.
The amount of, like, shit that straight women put up with is crazy. But I know that there are lesbians like this. I know that they exist. And that's when we talk about, like, the fuckboy lesbians oh and, like, God. the ones that take on this toxic masculinity and they will talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gross, because you're acting like a man. And this is what I mean.
Yeah,
don't act exactly. like that. That's gross.
It's not okay for any relationship, okay?
No.
It's just so insane to me. And I hope that she leaves.
Yeah.
Because that's not okay. And yeah. poor girl, even at the end, she's like, I just need to know if I'm being controlling.
Because he told her that. He said,
yeah.
It's because he was like, you're stifling me. Like, you're trying to control my life.
And it's Oh my God, I can't talk about wanting to fuck other women with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
No.
She's like, I can't believe this. All guys talk like this.
Oh my God.
Like, okay, well, I hope that she finds one that it's not like that.
Exactly.
I hope she breaks up with you and finds somebody that treats her better.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That was a wild one.
Yeah. She's not the asshole. That guy is an asshole. And if you're dating someone like that, you probably should break up with them or talk to them about it and hope that they respect your feelings of not being creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gross. So, okay. It's time for queer trivia. I'm like nervous about it because, well,
some of them,
I get them wrong, and okay. I'm still embarrassed about the time that I got the Lady Gaga and RuPaul quote mixed up. So now I'm like afraid.
That's okay.
Okay. I'll do yours first.
Okay.
Oh. I would have gotten this wrong. Okay. So that's a hint.
Okay.
How many points are there on the 1948 Kinsey scale?
Okay.
Do you know what the Kinsey scale is?
Okay,
so I was really into this movie called Kinsey, and it is about, I want to say his name is Alfred Kinsey, and he was like a sex researcher.
Oh, wait, is he the one that was like having people like have sex?
Yeah, he was like measuring like orgasms and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But also it was like the scale of like, I feel like maybe asexual to like fully gay and like that most people are not 100% straight or 100% gay.
Yeah.
So anyway, how many points are there on that scale? Mm-hmm. 3, 5, 7, or 10?
I want to say 10.
Okay.
That's probably wrong, isn't it?
It's 7.
Okay.
But I would have got it
my
wrong.
My second guess too.
Because 7. I thought there were 6.
Oh.
And so that's why I'm like, is there 7? Because maybe he put asexuality on there. Because I always thought it was like 1 to 6. And I can never remember which way it is. I always think 6 is totally gay, but maybe 6 is totally straight. I can't remember.
If it's like, oh, okay.
I just know that I always like, for the longest time, identified as the one right next to fully gay because I was like, maybe there might be some guy in the world. And then I realized that it's just guys that look like lesbians. So it's like young Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
You know, the guy in the Vladimir show that Rachel Weisz is in. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. He has these beautiful feminine eyes and like these full lips. And I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, only if you were a lesbian.
He's cute. But I'm like, I wouldn't have sex with him, but also I'm married. I extra wouldn't have sex with him. That's Rachel Weisz's character is married and she does have sex with him. Did I spoil it? I feel like we know that's what it's about. I don't know. She's so beautiful. I was just sad she wasn't a lesbian in it. I was like, why is she not gay?
Why are you playing non-lesbian characters?
Stop playing straight people. And then I forgot she's married to Daniel Craig.
What? I almost did too. Yeah. I remember when I found that out, I was like, her? Really? Yeah. And then I was like, okay, maybe they're just.
Maybe he's also gay.
It's a lavender marriage.
Yes, I really think so. I don't know. She gives me really gay vibes because.
She does.
Maybe she just likes to play gay, but I don't know. She seems gay to me. And she kind of seems gay to me too. So I think they're both gay.
Okay, I'm going with this one. Okay, which term inspired by an iconic media character emerged in the 1940s as a euphemism for queerness? Is it A, a friend of Lucy?
This is so funny.
A friend of Miss Piggy? C, friend of Dorothy? Or D, friend of Pinocchio?
Okay, it's funny because it's friend of Dorothy, but because we just got these shirts from our friend, that are mutual on TikTok, and I think Made with Anger is her shop, and her name on TikTok is Tanny, like T-A-N-Y. Anyway, point being, one of the shirts that we got from her says Friend of Dorothy on it. So I was like, wow, obviously know this one. So, wow, I'm so glad I got that one right, and I wasn't like, oh, Friend of Lucy. Whatever.
Friend of Pinocchio.
That's hilarious. Wasn't there kind of a gay part in Pinocchio, to be honest? Like, Did I make that up? When he and the other little boy, like teenage boy, got drunk and they turned into donkeys.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was kind of gay. I thought they were going to be boyfriends.
Oh.
I don't know. I could see why it would be friend of Pinocchio. I'm just saying. Maybe I should rewatch it. Anywho.
I'll rewatch it and I'll let you know.
Okay, you're going to be like, it's not gay at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm really trying to see the gayness.
Yeah. So thank you so much for tuning into But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed this show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. Yes, all of them, or just any that you're on. We would really appreciate it. We would appreciate it extra if you would leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep our lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch, and we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
Yes, and tune in next week where we will be reviewing Chutney Popcorn, a 1999 independent film, and it was available on Tubi, but they took it off, so they suck for that, but it's available on YouTube.
You're still Tubi's number one fan, though. It's
I
okay.
am, yeah, but I was really pissed off because they literally, I couldn't find it anywhere else until it was YouTube, and then the version that I found on YouTube, they have the full movie, but they play like some really weird music in between, like, so they don't get copyrighted, but it's so fucking annoying. So anyways, if you want to watch it, you can watch it on there.
Yeah, but I also think that you can, I didn't even find anywhere to rent it because I was willing to pay to rent it. And usually I will buy DVDs.
Yeah.
And like, I recently bought the DVD of If These Walls Could Talk Too,
yeah.
Because we couldn't find it anywhere to rent it and we want to talk about it at some point. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find this anywhere.
Yeah.
So I am of the opinion that since it's so independent, it might even be the creators that put it on YouTube because
so
they just want people to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which one did you watch? Was it like – because the one that I watched
I
was like the Brazilian subtitled version. Yeah,
okay, maybe it did have weird music and I didn't notice. I was too distracted by the story being so interesting.
Yeah.
So watch it. And if you don't want to watch it, still listen to our episode next week because it is a wild ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will see you next Tuesday. Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to spinquest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.